Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking a little college football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in one of our favorites to the program, Ryan McGee from ESPN. Ryan, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. If I'm being 100% honest with you guys, I'm taking my suit from Saturday to the cleaners because it smells like cigar smoke, but that's cool.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, a lot of my clothes from the weekend smell like cigar smoke, too.
Yeah, but you, that's voluntary for you. You smoked a cigar.
I just mowed down about five of them on Saturday.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, so it was funny because I was with Roman Harper, of course, you know, my coworker at SEC Nation and one of the all-time Alabama greats and all that, and he carried a cigar around with him all day, like in Knoxville. Like,
wow.
Showed up at work at 6 o'clock in the morning, had it stuck in his front pocket, had it on during the show, carried it around all day. And when the last interception happened, I didn't even look at him. I just held my arm out, and he didn't even fight it. He just took it out of his pocket, stuck it in my hand like a baton. So to his credit, that's how a third Saturday works.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. So let's just start there, Ryan. What did you make of that win for Tennessee, and particularly the step that the offense and Nico took in the second half there?
Well, that was it. I mean, that's I said on Saturday morning on Marty McGee that I thought it was going to be a low-scoring game. But at some point, Tennessee would have to have a spark. Not for even a quarter. Just a couple of drives in a row. And so we saw that, you know, at the end of the game. But, man, that first half, it was as incredible as the energy was in the stadium. The grandstand turned quickly when the offense wasn't moving. But this is – it's interesting, because if you go back and look at, you know, Tennessee a year ago, in SEC games, they weren't that explosive. You know, they had their games that certainly looked like 2022. But last year, it just wasn't the same. And so, you know, the good news if you're a young quarterback, and what we've been reminded of over the last, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, is that Nico's really young, which we forget just because the way he carries himself and the way he talks and the way he just operates, you know, just as a human, is, you know, what do you need? You need a good running game and you need a good defense. And that's exactly what he has. So it bought him enough time to get going. But yeah, it was encouraging on a lot of levels. But regardless of what happens from here for Tennessee, you know, it's a feeling that everyone had forgotten until 2 years ago. And so that'll buy you some time.
So the big picture of this season so far, Ryan, because I've just found it to be one of the most fun college football seasons I've ever, you know, observed. Really, and I know it's prisoner of the moment stuff to say ever, but I've loved it so far. I love the 12 team and what it is, I think is going to do, especially moving forward here. But where are you on that?
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. Out there, like I said to you guys, I was not a fan of the 14 playoff in the beginning because I grew up. My dad was a college administrator, so I grew up on, you know, what we call 1AA kids, you know, the FCS level campuses. And so I loved the 16-team playoff. Loved it. Like, it was an awesome, you know, experience every fall if your team made the playoff. And so I wanted them to go to 16 immediately. But then I kind of started digging four. And the reason is because it was difficult to get into the postseason. And I think it should be difficult to get into the postseason. And so when they went to 12, I was a little worried just because, are we going to water down regular season games, and is the intensity going to be there? And we'll see long term if it has an effect on it. But if you were there Saturday, you know there was no lack of intensity. You know, all of the games that I have attended this year, and I've been to a game every weekend, there's no lack of intensity. And you're right. Everybody feels like they have a chance. And now we're down only 10 undefeated teams in FBS, and most of those teams play another undefeated team at some point in the last, you know, what, 5-6 weeks of the season. And so, yeah, it's wide open, and it's awesome. And I'm here for the chaos. So, yeah, that's a long way of saying I'm with you. Listen, the high water mark is 2007. Like, 2007 was, and I don't know if we're ever going to top 2007, but this has that kind of feel to it because you know, y'all sitting in Nashville, that Vanderbilt's the example. You know, I remember the night Vanderbilt got the big win over Alabama, Chris Doering said it on SEC Network. It's the smartest thing I heard yet, which is he said that the really good teams aren't quite elite, but the bad teams aren't nearly as bad as they used to be. And so that creates a big wad in the middle, and that's where the chaos lives, and I'm all about it.
Yep, a lot of chaos so far, no doubt about that. You bring up Alabama there, so you lose to Vanderbilt. You get a win against South Carolina in a game that easily could have gone the other way, and now you've lost to Tennessee. So what do you make now of the challenge for Kalen DeBoer to get this thing back on track, and what do you make of just the path left for Alabama now?
Well, we're going down there. We're going to Tuscaloosa on Saturday to do Marty McGee and SEC Nation, and I can't wait to get on campus Friday and just take the temperature, because the panic meter has to be going. And I texted Paul Feinbaum Sunday night, and I go, I'll be honest with you, I don't listen every day, but I'll be listening this week because I just can't. Right? I mean, everybody's lined up, you know, at the edge of the building right now, and so I'm curious to get back on campus. But I this is kind of where I thought the team would be. I didn't know where the losses would come from. I certainly didn't think that the loss to Vanderbilt was going to happen. There's no way you don't take a step, just a little step backwards. Obviously, when you lose the greatest head coach of all time, but it really, to me, was more about the personnel that left. And so, which is part of the reason that Saban retired. And so, I've actually been a little impressed that they've hung like they've hung, because the reality is that offense is two guys. It is. And Jalen Milroe might be the best athlete in the country, but it's him and Ryan Williams versus the world. It's just how it is. I mean, you saw it on Saturday. It's certainly in the first half when I was down on the sideline. And so, you know, I like Kalen DeBoer a lot. This was the moment that was always going to come. There was always going to be the, well, hell, he's not Nick Saban moment. And that's right where we are. And so I'm curious to see how he handles that. I'm curious to see how the university handles it, because, you know, it's the first time they've lost two regular season games, you know, in a really, really, really long time.
No doubt. Quick, give a recommendation for everybody. Ryan's story at ESPN.com, how Notre Dame's four horsemen became college football legends. Absolutely the best thing I've read this college football season. Fantastic work on that. And just fascinating to track their stories from that moment when, of course, Grantland Rice wrote those words about them. But I want to ask you, Ryan, about Army, Navy. We talked about with Ralph Russo about this the other day. You know, we'll see, because Notre Dame may, of course, be the team that makes it all okay for everybody, but they may be playing. They may be both contenders. They may have a huge AAC title game and then a, well, meaningless in terms of the playoff race game a week later. Do you feel like this, like, because of this, like, does something need to change about the way that the system with this, so that can't possibly happen, or is this just going to be an aberration?
People ask me all the time, and you guys get it too. You get stopped at the airport, you get stopped at the gas station, whatever, and they want to say, you know, where is college football going, and what is the sign to you that college football has lost touch with who it is? If they screw with the Army-Navy game, then they are ripping apart the fabric of the sport. You know, it's why you can't get rid of the third Saturday in October. I think the chatter about that is insane. Sanity. You can't mess with that. There's just, take it from a guy that watched NASCAR burn itself to the ground from the inside because they didn't respect tradition. And so you can't mess with it. So that's a really long way of saying, I don't care what Army-Navy situation is with the conference championship game. You still have to play that game the next week. And it is what it is. It's just how it's going to be. That game only needs to be by itself on that weekend in December. We're running out of weekends in December to have it. So there's only one left because the playoff starts, kids, on December 20th. So play it where you play it. But it's the anomaly. But the fact that we're looking at that in the very first year of the 12-team playoff, I think is hilarious. And plus, it's just awesome. You know, I love Jeff Monken, the head football coach at Army. I spent some time with him last year. Of course, we all know him from Georgia Southern and everywhere else. And the fact that Army and Navy – in this new world of college football where they're not supposed to be able to keep up. The fact that Army and Navy and, you know, and throw them all in there. I mean, look at the whole bottom five in the top 25 this week. It's amazing. Hell, Duke's only got one loss, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Vandy's a wrecking ball. I mean, it's just we're living in a world where Pitt is undefeated and Illinois can't lose. And I just
– Don't forget Cignetti.
Yeah, that's it. It's great. It's great. And so I'm all about the Army-Navy game getting as much attention as it can possibly get because, to me, it's the greatest game in college football. So if it gets it because it's got a chance to, you know, screw the playoff up, amen, pass the potato salad.
Ryan, last thing for you. I do want to get your thoughts. You know, you brought up Vanderbilt. They get the win against Alabama. They got Texas coming up in Nashville this weekend. What do you make of Diego Pavia and the job that Clark Lea has done this year to turn that program around?
Well, all right, so you're talking to the guy that writes the bottom 10 for ESPN.com. I am super familiar with New Mexico State football.
Oh, yeah.
Like I've been watching it very closely for almost a decade and a half writing the bottom 10. And I saw a lot of Diego Pavia before he got to Nashville. And you know, for folks that don't know, he was most famous for, you know, peeing on the New Mexico logo when New Mexico State was in New Mexico Bowl. It's a phenomenal story. But that's kind of all you need to know about it, right? That wasn't the smartest move in the world, but he's got that swagger. His family has the swagger. The video of his family's tailgates prior to games is all I need to know. So I am really happy for Clark Lea. You know, we don't root for teams as in our jobs. We don't root for coaches, but you guys know this. You want Clark Lea to succeed because no one wants that job at Vanderbilt more than he does, yep. Right? And you want it to work. You know, it still breaks my heart about Matt Luke at Ole Miss and about, you know, I mean, Barry Odom at Missouri. When it doesn't work at your alma mater, it's just heartbreaking. And so to see what he's doing and to see Vandy get behind it, that's the thing, too, is – you know, winning's fun, and so maybe they can garner this in a couple of years. But yeah, the New Mexico State connection. All I knew about Diego Pavia was he's going to beat Hugh Freeze wherever Hugh Freeze is, and now we know he's going to beat Alabama too.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. Ryan, always love having you on the program, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, and I appreciate the kind words about the Four Horsemen feast. That was a labor of love right there. So thank you, and I will see you guys somewhere down the road.
Absolutely. Yeah, Ryan McGee, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road of Marty and McGee and of ESPN.com as well. We will continue the discussion on the DeAndre Hopkins trade coming up next. More of your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.